ready to get in the Word? All right, I got through all the infomercial there. I want you to get your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10 this morning. My favorite book of the Bible, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10. And the title of this message is How to Get Out of a Rut. Is everybody ready to get out of the ruts? Has everybody set some New Year's resolutions? Most of the time, yeah, some people don't. I've quit setting them myself, but some people, you know, this time of the year spurs you on to, I need to set this goal. Most of them are weight loss goals, things like that, to get out of the rut and those kind of things, and that's great. We need to do that, but I want to teach you today on how to get out of a rut, and this will apply to your spiritual life. It can apply to your marriage. It can apply to your business, whatever. This is going to help you get out of the ruts in life. But first of all, let's define what a rut is. Webster's Dictionary defines a rut like this: a habit or pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive but is hard to change. Everybody got that? It's a habit or a pattern of behavior that has become dull and unproductive but is hard to change. And for our purposes, I'm going to define a rut as an activity or pattern of our life that is not in accordance with God's will for our lives. And one of our, if you have your bulletins, I want you to open up to that the first page there, because I want to show you something. If you've never read our bulletin, we try to, you know, first of all, what to expect at HFC and what we do here and how we worship and all that. Talks about the Lord's Supper and communion, and the giving is an act of worship, so we don't pass the baskets here and those kind of things, and about our children's ministry. But down there at the bottom on that first page, it says Harvest Fellowship Church vision statement. And this is part of what our core values are. And it says, we are a regional church reaching Western Oklahoma. Our vision is to see people saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered, and serving. Everybody said, amen. I grew up in church, and it seemed like the message that I heard every Sunday was this: our vision is to see people saved, 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 and see people saved again. This is the third time you got saved. To see people saved. Is everybody getting a point? And we've, you know, water baptized three times and all those kind of things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I was water baptized twice. It took two times for it to take. But there's nothing wrong with that. But I got to thinking, there's got to be more to than just salvation. There has to be more to this. I mean, I read in my Bible that Jesus wants us to live the abundant life. Well, why ain't I living the abundant life? Why do I feel like that I'm still in the rut? And so it got me to get into the Word of God and figure some things out in my life and my walk with God. And I don't want to water down salvation. I don't want you to leave here and say that I, you know, because salvation is the greatest thing that can happen to anybody. But then we need to be taught the Word of God on how to go forward from there. And so that's our core value, is to see people set free. Set free. Every one of us in here needs to experience some kind of freedom. Set free. Definitely the freedom of being saved, your spirit man, you know, being awakened and quickened and you're saved. That happens at a moment of faith when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we want to get set free and start this life of abundance and walking, you know, in abundance in our lives. And this is the year of abundant harvest. And I know we say that, you know, I'm in agreement with that. I'm excited about that. But I'm like, God, I don't want to be the same this time next year. I want to be better. And so for me to do that, there's some things that I have to do. Mark Haney has to do to be better this time. I don't want to regress. I don't want to go backwards. I've done that in my walks with God, it seems like it's meant more than, you know, thank God we can get back up. When you get knocked down, you can get back up. But I want to keep going forward. You know, and sometimes life is, you get in a rut, and you feel like I've taken two, three steps backwards and one step forward. But here's the deal, always be making forward progress. And thank God for His grace. And everybody said, so the Lord wants you to be in a better place this time next year, and He wants you better today and tomorrow. And there's all kinds of ruts, and I could go on and on and on about this, but I just wrote down a few that you may be experiencing right now. Some of us are in ruts in our job, our career, Some of us are in ruts in our thought life because our thought life is full of negativity. Some of us are in ruts financially. Some of us are in ruts in our marriage. Some of us are in the rut of eating too much. That was one of my ruts, and I've just declared this year, Mark Haney is not going back for seconds in the name of Jesus. And I've got Jesus involved in it. And you need to make it push-ups and push-backs from the table. Eating too much. Gossip is another one. We can get in the rut of gossip and talking about other people. I've done that too. We can get in the rut of undisciplined schedules. Undisciplined schedules. We can get in the rut of a stressed-filled life where we're just allowing too much drama to come in our lives. And sometimes we just need to say, stop it in the name of Jesus. We're not allowing this to come in. We can get in the ruts of addictions. We can get in the ruts of, here's some spiritual ruts, prayerlessness, you know, just not praying. We're not spending that time with the Lord. Lack of getting into the Word. I could go on and on and on about ruts that we can get in spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, and relationally. And here's what I found out being a pastor. I've been a pastor now. I started ministry in 93, so this is 25 years, 18 years here in Leedy, 25 years in ministry. And God called me to be a pastor, so I counsel a lot of people. Some people in our church, some people that don't even go to church here. And they listen or they hear me on the radio, and they call me up and want counseling, and I enjoy doing that. And one of the things I found out being a counselor is you need to be a good listener. Here's what I found out. There's two kinds of people that I have met with, and I have been both. I don't want you to think I've got it all figured out, because I don't. Number one, some people don't want to get out of the rut. They just don't want to get out. They like the rut. They've been there their whole life, and let's just stay in it because it's going somewhere. But it's a rut. Nevertheless, it's a rut. Some people are like that. Most people, though, and I've met a few of those, okay, that some people just don't want to get out of the rut. But most people, the problem is they're in a rut, but they just don't know how to get out of the rut. They just don't. They've never been taught. They don't understand. And sometimes, yes, you have a part to play in it. There's personal responsibility. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But it could be because of the home you was raised in. It could be the environment that you've been in. All those kind of things factor in to why you're in the rut that you're in. And you need to be able to identify those things so you can get out of that rut. So in this story that we're going to look at in Mark chapter 10, we're actually going to look at blind Bartimaeus. Everybody say blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. This story is also told in Matthew 20 and Luke 18. In Matthew 20, it is told, Matthew says there was two blind beggars there. I like Mark. This story is told Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so that means it's pretty important. We need to pay attention to it. But in Mark, he points out one of the guys that Jesus had an interaction with, and he names him as blind Bartimaeus. And so that's why I chose this, because Mark names him, but it's also because it's the Gospel of Mark too. I can't preach out of Matthew. My brother's named Matt. No, I'm just kidding. They're all great gospels, but I wanted just to share this story out of Mark chapter 10. So in Mark chapter 10, we're going to go ahead and read this, verses 46 through 52, and then we're going to go back through it and pick it apart, and I'm going to share some things with you this morning. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." So I want you to understand, here he is, he's sitting by, just like when you go through the corner in Oklahoma City, and you see the people begging, this is what's going on. Jesus has come to town, there's somebody sitting there by the roadside, and they're begging, and he's a blind beggar. In verse 47, it says, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" I want you to remember that. "What do you want me to do for you?" "And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him along the way, or followed him on the way. Okay, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, I want you to write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got five, and these are five principles that we're going to learn from a blind guy to get out of a rut, all right? We're going to learn from somebody that is blind, naturally blind, how to get out of a rut. And here's number one. Number one, he assumed responsibility for his situation. Look at somebody and say, you need to take responsibility. Okay. This is in verse 47. Blind Bartimaeus, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And here's the deal. This is a phrase I heard one time and I really liked it. If it's to be, then it's up to me. I'm going to say that again. If it's to be, then it's up to me. You're going to have to, in this first step, and this is where a lot of people, I'm just going to say this right now. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen it in counseling, being a pastor. This is where most people stay at because they will never accept responsibility for their situation because they always want to blame it on somebody else. So the blame game starts. This goes back plumb to the book of Genesis. They want to blame. I want to blame my spouse. God, if I just had a different spouse, things would be better. Don't look around or don't elbow anybody right now. if I had a better job, if I had more money, if I had, the list goes on and on and on of the blame game. If we just, you know, and we do it, sometimes we blame God, sometimes we blame the devil. And in counseling, I've tried to, you know, I listen to people and then I have to tell people the truth because I don't want to sit there and listen to them forever. And does that sound pretty bad as a pastor? I'm up here. And because what I found out when I listen to people, I've listened to several people, and I'm thinking about one particular person right now, and they were always blaming somebody else. And this person, and this is, they don't even go to church here, so I don't want you looking around, I wonder who it is. We're not doing that, but don't even go to church here or anything. But he was constantly blaming the devil for his addiction that he had. And I finally got tired of hearing it, and I said one day to him, I said, did you know the devil was defeated at the cross? And the only power that he has is what you allow him to have over you? And you know what? He didn't like hearing that because that was his crutch to stay in his addiction. I got somebody to blame that's worse than me, and it's the devil. And so that allows me, and I was like, buddy, Jesus came to set you free, and that's the truth of the gospel. But you've got to accept responsibility for where you're at and let him, allow him to come in and set you free. And what I love about Bartimaeus, if you notice what Bartimaeus did, when he heard, he couldn't seem, but when he heard in one of the gospel accounts, he could hear the crowd saying, it's Jesus. Jesus is coming to town. Here comes Jesus. Bartimaeus said, you know what? I got to talk to that guy. I need him to help me right now. And he began to cry out with a loud voice. He accepted responsibility for his situation. He didn't blame it. He wasn't blaming his parents for being blind. He wasn't blaming himself for being blind. He was just saying, I'm taking responsibility for my situation. I love the story that doesn't ever say, because as we always want to try to figure out, okay, why is a person like that? What causes him to be like that? What caused him to be blind? The Bible never says that, and I love that about it. But he accepted his responsibility for his situation, and he asked Jesus for help. Some of us need to humble ourselves and ask Jesus for help. You've been trying to do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. I tried to set myself free. It don't work. I'm not that powerful. Can't do it. You need Jesus' help. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about the people that have went on before us into heaven, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And here's something else I've learned about being a pastor and about my own self and my walk with the Lord. Most of us know what hinders us and entangles us already, but we just won't take it to the Lord. and we won't get rid of it, and we won't, maybe we get rid of it and then we pick it back up. We get rid of it and we get it back, and that's a rut. That's a rut. That's the rut I'm talking about. All right, here's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 that goes along with this point. And I left this in here in my Bible. It said the need for self-discipline. This is kind of like a halftime talk, by the way, what I'm doing this morning. We need self-discipline. I need it to do the pushbacks from the table. Don't go back for seconds. And you think, well, is that spiritual? Yeah, it is. Because that affects me, spirit, soul, and body. I could die before my time of not fulfilling the calling upon my life if I keep going back for seconds and thirds. And I'm making a joke out of it, but it's reality. It is reality. This is serious business. And so we need self-discipline. Wherever you need self-discipline at, do you not know, and I'm bringing that in the physical, because God cares about a spirit, soul, and body. Verse 24 there in 1 Corinthians 9 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And basically what this scripture is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, take responsibility. Take responsibility for your own self-discipline. Because most of us know what hinders us and what entangles us. And we got to stop it in the name of Jesus. And who's going to help us is Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Okay, here's number two. Number two, what I love about blind Bartimaeus is he didn't wait for ideal circumstances. He didn't know this, but Jesus was never going to come back through Jericho. And so if he'd have waited, if he'd said, you know what, I'm not going to bother Jesus right now. I'm just going to sit here on the corner and keep begging. He'll be back through here and minister again. Jesus never came. This is when Jesus was going to the cross. So he took advantage of that circumstance and that situation, even though it wasn't ideal, even though it wasn't just him and Jesus. There was a huge crowd there, and one gospel account says there was probably in Jericho that day, there was close to, I'd read something, around 80,000 people probably was there. So I just want you to get this huge crowd. He's sitting on the ground with a cloak over him, recognizing him as a blind beggar, and he begins to cry out for Jesus. He didn't wait for ideal circumstances. It wasn't ideal for him. I love this scripture, and this was the scripture that went out on the Harvest Time Club today. It says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. We just want to, you know, we're waiting for that ideal circumstance. With me, it was kind of like this. If I fell off, I'm using this example on me today because this is where something I'm dealing with right now in my own life is eating healthier, doing pushbacks from the table. If I had a day where I fell off the wagon and it might have been Tuesday, I'm like, well, I'll start again next Monday. Anybody Monday starters around here? Yeah, so then I got the rest of the week just to do whatever I want because I've already fell off the wagon and I'm just like, I'm in the rut, so I'm going to stay in the rut and I'm going to eat like I'm in the rut for the rest of the week. And God's saying, no, get back on, get out of the rut, and it's never going to be ideal. Don't wait for Monday. Every day is, here's the thing about the Lord, and I love this, every day is a new day with him. Every day, every moment, if you fall one moment, he's there to pick you right back up and start again. You don't have to go get saved and water baptized all over again. You're still saved. You just fell. Thank God for his grace, and he'll pick you right back up. Isn't that good? That's the good news about the Lord. All right, here's number three. If you want to get out of a rut, you can't worry about what others will think or say. And everybody said, amen. Verses 47 through 48, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. He didn't listen to him, thank God. Son of David, have mercy on me. They were telling him, be quiet. You know what? Jesus don't have time for you right now. He's busy. He's just passing through Jericho. You need to shut your yapper. He doesn't care. And he kept crying out. And you know what? When you go on, we just read the end of this story. The crowd was wrong. Jesus did hear him. Jesus did have time for him. The crowd was wrong. And this is just going to kind of show you, and this still applies today. This is how a lot of people think today still in the body of Christ. This is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. And this is another account where Jesus heals a man born blind. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And I love this about Jesus. He said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." When people are in a rut, it's because they did this or they did that, but sometimes it has nothing to do with any of that. It's just because we're living in a fallen world and we're in a rut. And that's what Jesus is saying there. And I'm here to get him out of the rut. And so, and what I love about this, and John, not only was the crowd wrong with the blind Bartimaeus, but even here Jesus is saying to the disciples, "You're wrong. You're wrong. It has nothing to do with that. It's just so that my works can be displayed in him right now and get him out of this rut." And everybody said, "Amen." All right, everybody learning something this morning? Okay, here's number four. Don't be afraid to step out boldly and believe God. And this is verses 49 through 52, and I'm going to read these again. It says, Jesus stopped because he heard blind Bartimaeus calling to him, and he said, "Call him." And so they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Now, here's what I love about this about Jesus. Jesus didn't go to him. Jesus had him come to him. Are y'all following this? And it says, throwing his cloak aside, okay, when he does that don't skip over that. Throwing his cloak aside, he didn't take his cloak with him, and that cloak recognized him as a blind beggar. He threw it aside. He said, basically what he was saying, "I'm tired of living like this, and I know I've met a man that can help me." And it says he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. And in verse 51, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I'm like, dirty, Jesus. This is where I'm like, do you not see that this man's blind? If Jesus is looking at him in his eyes, I want you to get this picture. His eyes are milky white. He cannot see. He's blind. And Jesus is going, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Jesus is a good pastor because he knows not everybody wants to get set free. Not everybody wants help. And the blind man said, because Jesus was wanting, I need you to make a statement of faith right now. I can do it for you, but I need your faith to be involved with me. And it says the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus says, Jesus doesn't lay hands on him, doesn't do anything. He says, "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So don't be afraid to step out boldly and believe God. That's number four. And here's what happens with people today. It's happened with me as well. The spirit of fear stops more people than you'll ever know. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. He wants you to take those steps of faith. And Jesus was telling blind Bartimaeus, he said, "I want you to put your faith into action." He called for him. He had to get up, throw off his cloak, come to Jesus. And he said, "I want you to put your faith into words as well." You need to write that down. Some of you in here today, don't be afraid to step out boldly and believe God. You need to put your faith into words, and you need to put your faith into action. And everybody said, you got to put your faith, that's how your faith works. It works by speaking, and it works by acting upon what you're speaking. Some of you are saying this, "Well, Pastor Mark, I've done that. I've spoke it, I've prayed it, I've asked for it, I'm doing everything I know to do." And here's what I'm going to tell you today, and I'm going to show you a scripture. And whenever I was preparing this message, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying there's going to be somebody here today that needs to hear this one. Some of you are saying right now, "Pastor Mark, I've already done that. My faith is in action. My faith is in my words." But here's what I want to tell you. You did it in your own strength. You didn't ask him. You're doing all that in your own strength. You're putting faith in yourself. You need to put your faith in him. Don't get weary. Some of you are getting weary in well-doing because that's what you're doing, is you're putting faith in yourself, and you're calling upon your own strength to do those things, and you need to call upon his strength. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. This is where the Lord told me to take all of us today. In Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, it says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon," that's Peter, the Apostle Peter, "put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Peter was a fisherman. That's how he supplied, you know, money for his family and everything. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Okay, in his own strength. This guy's been working all night in the Sea of Galilee and hasn't caught anything. He doesn't have anything to take home to his family. And I love this, and that's why I underline it. Simon said, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Some of you need to do it and do it again, but this time not do it in your strength, but do it in his strength. And the Lord can do in a moment what you've been trying to do for a lifetime. And I'm going to tell you here today, the Lord is still in the business of doing big things. And he's still in the business of doing miracles. And everybody said, but you got to listen to him and quit doing it in your own strength. All right, here's number five. The fifth principle that I want to share with you today. And by the way, this is going to be a series. And every one of these will be like a standalone message, so even if you miss one, it's okay. But I really feel as I was preparing this, because we just came out of the series Hearing God, and I was, you know, thinking, Lord, you know, what do we need? What does our congregation need? I want to be a good shepherd. I want to be a good pastor. And I know this is the year of the abundant harvest, and I kept hearing these words in my spirit, man, set free, set free, set free. And it means that there, some of you, what the Lord was showing me and showing me, even myself, is that we want that harvest, we want that abundant life, we want that abundant harvest, but some of us are still operating in old patterns and old cycles, and we need to break them in the name of Jesus to step in into all that God has for us. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying you're just not living into the fullness of what the Lord has for you, because we're still letting it's called renewing the mind. And so we're going to get more into this as we go along in this series. But here's number five. Once you're out of the rut, stay out. I know that's simple. That's easier said than done. But once you're out, stay out. And rely upon his strength to do it. Once you've gotten out of pornography, stay out. Once you've gotten out of drugs and prescription drugs, stay out. Once you've got out of negative thinking, stay out. Stay out, stay out, stay out. Don't open that door back up. Keep those doors shut. Whatever you got to do, make pre-made decisions. Whatever you got to do to stay out of that rut. Because that rut is leading to death. I liked what one pastor said. He said a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. And that is so true, because it's going nowhere. You feel like you're going somewhere, but it's really not. I'm going to share a story real quick of my rut that I had been through, because I want to be vulnerable and let you know I don't have this off. I'm walking with the Lord just like you are. I'm saved. I'm set free. He called me to be a pastor. There's days I wake up, I don't feel like a pastor. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, I can't believe they're even listening to me. You know, that kind of stuff. But there was one time, and this has been several years ago, I was in a rut, and I'm going to be very vulnerable with you, because there are some of you here that might relate to this, and it may help you in what you need to do. I'm not trying to push what the Lord brought me through to say you need to do the same thing I did. I'm not saying that. You need to pray and ask the Lord what you want me to do. But I'm going to share my story with you. I was in a rut. I knew I was in a rut. I knew what I just read in Hebrews 12. I knew what was hindering me. I knew what was entangling me. And what was happening in my life was ever so often, didn't happen all the time, but it seemed like every 3 to 5 years, I would get into a depression, a state of depression. Now, I was still functioning, and I put on the smiley face, and nobody knew it except for my wife, but I had depression, anxiety, different things. There was times I had got up here on a Sunday morning, and it wasn't in this building, but it was when we was on Main Street, and I got up to teach the Word of God, and I was hearing voices on my shoulder saying, what in the world are you doing up here in front of these people? You're not qualified. You suck. You're no good. They're not listening to you. What are you doing? And it was the enemy's voice, and I started agreeing with it. And I thought, I am going literally crazy. I'm going cray-cray. And I had shared it with Jada. Jada knew that it was going on. And it just kept building up, and I kept getting more into this depression, this more into this anxiety. But I noticed a pattern. I was in my 40s when this started happening, or my late 30s, I should say, my late 30s. But I looked back, and the first time that I knew that I had went into this state was whenever I was in college. And Mark remembers this, and I roomed with Mark. And I'd never been there before, but I went into a state of depression. I didn't know it at the time, and I was trying to medicate it with alcohol back then. Because that was really before I was walking with the Lord. I believe I was saved back then even, but because I had an experience as a young guy and as a teenager with the Lord. But I was trying to medicate what I was going through with alcohol. And I was like, this ain't working. And it kept pushing me into a deeper state of it. And then as I quit, you know, the alcohol was not an issue in my life, but I still found myself, even after I got saved, called to be in the ministry, called to be a pastor, here I go again. I'm in this rut, and so I'm not going to alcohol, but I went to food. That's why I like peanut butter, and that's why I can do a line of Oreos like nobody's business, right? And so that was my go-to thing to medicate myself. And, I knew this is entangling me, this is hindering me. I don't know what's going on with Mark Haney, and I'm getting, you know, in my 30s, my late 30s, and going into my 40s. What's going on, Lord? And so I began to seek out, and I began to ask the Lord for help. I said, Lord, help me. And I started telling Jada. I became open with her what was going on. And so through just a series of events, I went to pastors with our Trinity Fellowship Association of Pastors who covers us. I went to them, and they suggested that I go to the Amarillo Family Institute, which is a counseling deal in Amarillo, Texas. And so I went. And the first time I went, I sat down with a guy that was probably about my age, and I tried to tell him what was going on with me, and he had a yellow notepad, great guy, very nice guy, and he was just writing down little things here and there, you know. And then when we got done, we set up another session, and I think I went to another session with him. Maybe not, maybe it was just one, and I just didn't have that connection with him. I knew, okay, this guy, I don't know, he's not connecting with me. There's nothing wrong with him. You know, he's a great guy, but there's just not that connection here. And I'm saying this to say this, because I've had people come to me and say, well, I went to counseling once and it didn't work. Well, I went to counseling once and it didn't work. But you need to try again. You may need to go to a different counselor. And so I began to ask, Lord, what do I need? Well, you need somebody that's older than you. Okay. So I asked him, do you have a man there that's older than me? Oh, yeah. We got the guy that, you know, started this ministry, this business. It's a counseling. It was actually a, you know, a counseling ministry, but this man that ran it was a Christian, and he was older, and so he'll meet with you. And I said, great, because I want to set up another counseling session, but I'd like to meet with him. So we did. Immediately I knew this is the guy that's for me. And so we sat down, and this guy, I went to him several times, even while I was pastoring. And I'm not ashamed to say that today. That's not a weakness to go to counseling. It's a strength. It's very strong to go to counseling. And so he began to unpack some things that I was telling him what was going on, because I was experiencing things, you know, personally, in my marriage, in my ministry, and different things. And he began to unpack stuff. And he unpacked a lie that I had bought, hook, line, and sinker. And this lie was this: if my faith was strong enough, then I could get out of this rut. Yeah. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. I was like, okay, I'm in the Word, I'm praying, but what, you know, and I had this, we all need faith. We all need it. We can increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but it's faith in Him, not faith in your faith. And so I'd bought a lie of that I was believing this lie that I didn't have enough faith in my faith to get out of the rut that I'm in. And he began to break that down with me, and it took several sessions. And one of the sessions he told me, he said, because I used to be this big proponent of, well, by gosh, if you had faith, you don't need a doctor, you don't need this, you don't need this, and you can get out of it. And that's a bunch of hogwash. Now, God put medicine on this earth to heal us. And so he began to show me, and here's another thing that I used to believe. And I and there there's and I I'm trying to share all this, you know, in a short amount of time. A pastor told me this one time, and it's very good, is there's elements of truth to what I'm sharing with you. You can be set free in a moment, all right? And it does take faith, but it's faith in him, not faith in your faith. And for every mile of truth, there's 2 miles of ditches that you can get in. But hear me? And I was off in a ditch. And so he began to share with me. He said, Mark, I see your family history here on one side of your family. I don't know a whole lot of family history on either side, but I was going on my dad's side and my grandmother's side. There's some mental health issues. I had an uncle who knows the Lord, who's in heaven today, that was schizophrenic. And my dad and I have had length talks about this. It's mental health. Dad said, I could see that in him when he was younger, but as he got older, it became more, you know, noticeable. And then he tried to medicate it with drugs, which just amplified it even more. But Lance knew the Lord, and he's in heaven today. And he is with the Father today, with Jesus, and he's in his right mind. And I'm so excited about that I get to see him. He's in my future. But I knew this part of in my family. But I had been taught by the altar faith stuff that, by gosh, you can cut off, and there's some truth to it, you can cut off the iniquities that are in your family, and they won't pass on to you. There's some truth to that. There's truth to that. But then God put medicine here to help us as well. But I had to realize, and he taught me, he said, Mark, there's some mental health issues in your family that you could have inherited. Do you believe that? I told him, I said, well, I don't want to believe that by faith, but here's the deal. But reality tells me that it's happening to me, and I don't know what to do about it. And so he shared this story with me, and I have shared this in counseling sessions with men over and over and over, and with women and people that will listen to me, because this is my story and I think it'll help people. Is he took me down the road and he said, Mark, let me ask you something. If you were doubled over with the stomach flu and puking your guts out, but it was all the sickness was in your stomach, would you go to the doctor and take something for that so you could feel better? Yeah, I would. And so he said, now I want you to take this. Would you take, with your mind, with your brain, because it's an organ of the body, if something wasn't firing right in your brain and synapses weren't connecting right and all this, would you go to the doctor and get help for it? And see, there's where the rubber meets the road, because I was like, if I do that, then I'm the crazy pastor. You know, everybody know our pastor's on medication. You know, and he said, Mark, there's no difference. There's no difference. And I said, you know what? And his name was Terry. I said, you know what, Terry? You're right, and I've believed a lie. And he said, now here's the deal, Mark. When you go to a doctor, you may have to shop around and find a doctor, just like you shopped around to find me. You may have to take different medicines to find out what's going to work with you. And I did. I had to do both. I had to shop around to find the right doctor, had to shop around to find the right medicine. And over time, I've had to increase it, decrease it, you know, tailor it to where I'm at, and it's helped. Now, am I trying to push that on anybody here? No, I'm not. But I know that there's some people here today that maybe you needed to hear that, because you're in a rut and you don't know how to get out. Well, God's provided a whole lot of things to help you get out of the rut. Counseling, doctors, it's all there. But you're going to have to humble yourself to go get help. And the first step is taking responsibility and asking him. He's ultimately the helper. But he'll help you. He'll guide you. And I prayed the whole time, God, lead me to the right doctor. God, lead me to the right medicine. God, lead me to this. And he did. Every step of the way, he did. And this Terry, very smart man, he said, Mark, and the one that's always going to know if you're walking right and everything's good is your wife, and you need to listen to her. And there's times... We get in arguments over it, but there's times she'll look at me and she'll go, have you taken your medicine today? And I was like, don't use my medicine against me in the name of Jesus, you know. But there's times I've said, yeah, I have, and I'm still mad. I'm still upset. But, guys, that was my rut, And all that process has helped me stay out of that rut. And there has been times over the years where I felt myself going back into that rut, and then I knew that some kind of adjustment needed to be made. And some of it was not just the medicine, or it may have been I need to get in the Word more. Even though I'm a pastor, I need to get in the Word for myself, not just to bring messages. I need to spend more time with Him. I need to get away. I need my crazy busy schedule. I need rest. You know, different things like that to tweak. It's not always, I don't want you to leave here and say, because it's not always medicine. It's not always popping a pill either. You know, I don't want you to hear that coming from me. It's a combination of everything. You are created in the image of God in your spirit, soul, and body. And we, all those are connected with a very fine string. One affects the other. So I'm hoping that helps somebody here today, because that was where my rut was at. And I pray that I never get into that rut, that actual rut again. But I'm hoping that some of these principles that I shared today, and I'm just going to leave this one, this screen up here, because this is all five principles today. Number one, he assumed responsibility for his situation. He quit playing the blame game. Number two, he didn't wait until ideal circumstances. Number three, if you want to get out of a rut, you can't worry about what others think or say. You know, I had to get over that hump of everybody's going to think I'm the crazy pastor because I tell them I have some mental health issues. And I'm proud to say that. And I want other people to hear that, because I have counseled lots of people that I know it's a, not only do they need spiritual counseling from the Word of God, but they also need to go see a doctor. There's some health issues going on that they need to take care of. Body, they need to eat right, they need to do this and do that, and exercise and all those things. All that affects us, spirit, soul, and body. So if you want to get out of a rut, you can't worry about what others think or say. Number four, don't be afraid to step out and believe God. And then number five, once you are out of the rut, stay out. Did this help everybody today? Okay. All right. I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Actually, two prayers. And as you're standing up, I just want you to, this is my leave with you today. Through this message in Mark chapter 10 about blind Bartimaeus, what's going to happen today, and it may have already started happening during this message, is the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through His Word, and what's going on is the Lord is taking the blinders off, some blinders that you've had on, and what He's going to do, and He does this very lovingly, and He does this very gently, and because He's a good Father, He's going to expose what hinders and what's entangling you. And then what you need to do, your response to that is not to say, oh God, I don't need help in that area or that or that. What you need to do is be humble and get help. And the first getting help is getting help from Him. And that's how you get set free, and that's how you stay set free. And the first step is what I talked about earlier, is if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. You don't need to put that off. This is how you start this walk of freedom with Him. And so I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because Romans chapter 10 tells us how to do that. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're here today, and even if you know, okay, I am saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen, amen. That's the first time you've prayed that. Your very next step, and we can do that next Sunday, is fill up this water baptistry, the holy hot tub, and get you water baptized. That's your next step in following the Lord. Jada, will you come up here, babe? And we're going to speak a blessing over you, and then we're going to go back here at the back so we can greet everybody this morning. This is the blessing. I want you to hold out your hands like you're going to receive something. Can you do that? Okay. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, I'm out of the rut.